This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Today we're going to have a special edition. We're featuring Andrea Lee Lena, a partner at McGuire Woods, healthcare partner who specializes in digital health. But we're going to talk today about women's leadership and leadership. Andrea, can you take a moment and introduce yourself, and then we'll talk about your sort of five thoughts or tips on women's leadership. Andrea?
Sure. Well, I'm a partner in McGuire Woods Chicago office, and I focus on digital health, innovation, and technology. I'm super excited about this topic today. I was thinking about it, and so many ideas come to mind. So I've tried to narrow it down to five. So excited to talk through those.
No, phenomenal. Why don't you get started? Talking to us about the five thoughts on leadership and women's leadership, and then I'll jump in when I can, but try and let you take the floor. Thank you, Andrea.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Well, the first one that came to mind, and you are the complete expert on this, so you will have better advice than I do, but the thought is, you know, utilizing social media. I think a lot of women and leaders and individuals generally don't understand the power of social media and, you know, the ability to really connect and share information with anyone on the earth and share this information with people live. I think that's such a big asset to so many people for their careers, is to utilize. It's at our fingertips, whether it's LinkedIn, whether it's Twitter. You can really reach anyone, and putting your knowledge out there, connecting with people you would never meet in person, right? That you would never, if you're going to some after work networking event, you wouldn't have access to, because maybe they live on the other side of the country or in a different part of the world. So thinking about that as an emerging leader, whether a woman or a man, about how you can utilize social media and how powerful that is.
Do you think sometimes that when I look at the different leaders that use it and don't use it, if I was to guesstimate, I would say men sometimes overuse it and women might not use it enough. And I don't know if I've got a study on that, but when I look at LinkedIn, you know, I mean, certainly I am guilty of this, the overposting syndrome and so forth, at least by rationale, because behind a lot of it, but certainly an overposter. And I see other male leaders that sometimes are overposters. Do you think in contrast that women, there's these studies on women, highly competent, but a little cautious sometimes. Do you think sometimes that women are too cautious in using social media fully on LinkedIn? Or is that just, you know, just internal bias that I might see? Because I see some of these men leaders, CEOs of health systems, some other CEOs of some of the big tech companies using it so constantly. And there are some women that I see using it, but not nearly as much as I see some of those folks. Do you think that women maybe underutilize it, or maybe men overutilize? I don't know what the right answer is.
Yeah, I think that's totally correct. I think women underutilize it, right? I don't know. You know, I think so much of social media, we are like obsessed with this idea of how many likes we get. Like, oh, this post only got one like, you know, so I can't, you know, this isn't valuable to my network, or, you know, for whatever reason, now I'm kind of shy about posting again. And I think that's, you know, maybe this is tied to women, just this idea of wanting to be perfect and wanting every post to be perfect. Is it's not really about that. It's putting out your knowledge in a way that's helpful to people. But even, you know, when I think about it for my career, even if one person and a very powerful person that you want to connect with reads that post, and that one like is from that one person you really want to connect with, or it's really helpful, that's a win, right? And so it doesn't need to be perfect. And putting out content, obviously you want to be self-aware and you don't want to put out content that's like no one cares about, right? But if you're sharing your knowledge, you know, put it out there. It doesn't need to be perfect. And I fall into this trap too of like, you know, I need to write this, you know, perfect thing to go with it. And, you know, it takes a lot of time. And, you know, just I'm trying to do this too of just like, hey, just get material out there. It doesn't have to be perfect. It starts the conversation. It shows people what you're doing. And so, yeah, I think women do tend to underutilize it. I would, you know, my thought, I don't, like I said, I don't have you said we don't have a study on this, but yeah, you want it to be perfect and don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, right?
But that point is so important, both on social media communication as well as any kind of internal communication. This concept of being over-communicative is probably more important than being under-communicative, and then particularly in a positive way, and being over-communicative and not being so worried, is every content, is every communication perfect? I mean, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Right.
I mean, and your point is well taken. I mean, part of this is, are you connecting with certain people right? Are you using the social media right to connect with who you need to connect with? Are you doing it in a way that puts you in the right professional light or not? Do you have a purpose in it? But at the end of the day, most people are probably guilty of not building their personal brand enough. So as a woman leader, mm-hmm. as a leader, you know, probably whatever you're doing, you could probably do more of it and not be overexposing oneself or over putting oneself out there. It's probably the bias mm-hmm. would be towards more action and more of it. I love your point on social media. It's such an interesting point. And I do, my bias is that men overuse it, women underuse it, at least in terms of LinkedIn and so forth. I don't know about the other social media, no comment. Andrea, mm-hmm. some other thoughts on leadership, particularly women's leadership?
Yeah, another thing that ties into this, so just a quick one, is, you know, don't be a potted plant. And I think this goes to the same idea of utilizing social media. It goes into phone calls, it goes into in-person meetings, it goes to pitches, whatever you're doing on a day-to-day basis, is don't be afraid to use your voice. I mean, so often I think women tend to, again, maybe not speak up unless they have the, you know, a more perfect answer. You know, they're afraid to take up space. I fell into this trap at the beginning of my career where I would say, you know, I'd have like a short thing I'd say for like 20 seconds. And the, you know, it's a generalization, but the man on the call would go for like 4 or 5 minutes. And it's like, why did I only take 20 seconds? Like, I have just as much valuable thing to say as they do. So putting yourself out there, you know, and again, all this ties back to, you have to have self-awareness. You can't just talk for, you know, the whole meeting and expect that to be productive. But, you know, putting it out there and saying, hey, these are the things that I'm really good at. Here's my opinion on these pieces. And, you know, making sure, you know, if you're, this is your first year in the job, or like in our context, if you're a brand new associate or something, that might not be the perfect time to do it. But especially as you get more senior, putting out your knowledge. And, you know, the next one I was going to say, and again, these are all kind of related, is sharing your knowledge, constantly be learning, which ties back to social media and this concept of don't be a potted plant, is you have so much to give, right? Put it out there in meetings, put it out there on social media, constantly be reading books and articles and content that you can then share with people. Again, you're so great at this, so love your input, but you posted the other day about a book, Organize Tomorrow Today, and it was really helpful. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm gonna run out and read that book. And it was so great. I'm so glad that you shared that. And I would have never picked up that book had you not shared that knowledge with your followers. So, you know, following your lead on a lot of that, I think it's just so valuable to point people, whether it's a different business books or different ideas, can be really helpful to your followers. And people want to follow you. They want to listen to what you're saying.
Well, and I think internally, this concept of having a voice, not being afraid to speak up, whether, you know, it, being comfortable in one's own shoes and constantly learning, and being self-aware of both things, being self-aware that, oh my goodness, that person's dominating the conversation, but not saying anything more important than I'm saying. And in fact, I've got mm-hmm. something to add here, some leadership here, you know, and not wanting to call the other person out, but wanting to be fully viewed as a leader and so forth, and handling oneself as such. It's so important. It really is. It, you know, particularly, I mean, people expect their leaders to communicate, and it's, even though there's a lot to be said, you don't have to be a perfect extrovert, but being willing to stand up and talk, so important as a woman leader, particularly. Men just do it regardless, even though they shouldn't. Women probably, at some point, at least studies have shown, maybe need to do it more at times. And then hopefully that world is changing, quite frankly. I mean, when we see that with more and more, you know, people in leadership positions that are women, but not nearly enough in the Fortune 500 or top hospital CEOs, even though magnificent hospital CEOs that are women need more of them. So those were three thoughts. Social, constantly learning, social media, communicate and stand up to be heard. Don't be a potted plant. Andrea, some more thoughts on women's leadership and leadership.
Yeah. So this one, actually, it's interesting. I was watching with my husband the other day, Yellowstone, which is this show about, you know, cowboys and all this stuff. And I, you know, to be honest, wouldn't have thought before this that I ever would like a show about cowboys. But they had a really interesting quote in there that really resonated with me. And one of the quotes was, you know, you never, quote, deserve it. You've got to go out. You have to earn it. And I thought, you know, it made me pause for a second because I thought, gosh, that's right. Like, you can't ever get to the point where it's like, hey, I deserve this job. You know, I deserve this business. I deserve this promotion. It's, you know, you have to work for it. You can never stop pushing forward. You can never stop learning. Like, there's always someone that's coming up behind you. And it's not always about like, oh, I have to beat everyone else or I have to win. But you have to stay on top of things. You constantly have to be working or you're going to lose it, right? It's the same thing as like running a marathon or becoming a runner. You can't run one day or for 1 week and then take a month off and expect to be able to just like jump right back in at the same speed that you were going before. It's a constant, you know, grind. It's constant effort. Like, you have to put it in, and you should never just think, hey, I deserve this opportunity. You know, what more can you be doing? How can you push a little bit every day to learn a little bit more and do a little bit more? And I think it's exciting. I think it's fun. But, you know, keeping that in mind, you really have to earn it. You don't deserve it.
Well, and you've done, I've watched you over the course of your career, and then at McGuire Woods, of course, but you've really made an effort to make yourself a seriously leading professional. And so you sort of live that concept of you never deserve it, you have to earn it, and you're certainly a perfect example of that. So thank you for sharing that. But I love the quote, you never deserve it, you have to earn it, is the concept. I bastardized the quote, excuse me. And Andrea, one more thought for the day on leadership.
Yeah, I think the last one that I was thinking about was, you know, again, these all kind of tie into this idea of constantly be learning. But reading as much as possible as far as nonfiction books. I think that so often, I know I fall into this, I read all day essentially for my job. It's phone calls or reading, right? You're reading contracts, you're reading the law, you're doing, you know, a ton of reading throughout the day. But I think at the end of the day, to make it fun to read books about the business that your clients are, what space they're working in, about what space you are working in, and be willing to share that knowledge again. And I'm reading this book right now, and it's got a weird title, but it's called Love is the Killer App, which I was never picked up, but someone recommended it to me. And it's got some really great content in there about, you know, someone being on a plane, for example, and you look at everyone around you, most of the time people are, you know, maybe reading a magazine that was part of, you know, in the seat, which I don't think they do anymore because of COVID, but, you know, this book was written in 2002, so more applicable then, or, you know, scrolling through social media or not really doing anything productive during that time. And the concept of the book is, hey, use that time to read a business book, to get, you know, make notes in it, highlight it, share it with other people when you find it to be helpful. And so I think too, it all ties in together as far as you want to constantly be learning, be reading those business books. You want to, you know, share your knowledge. You want to put it out there. And so that's a good way to learn, to be able to share that information.
But Andrea, I'll tell you something, and this is my trick. And I think I love your last point here on reading nonfiction business books or reading self-help books or whatever it might be that sort of just helps you think, improve, inspire you, whatever it is. Over the course of years, I've read a ton of them. But as I sort of get to be trying to be disciplined about it in a different way, my trick has been, and it ties into something you noticed earlier, you've noticed that I do, is I'll read 5-10 pages, a chapter of it, and I will write a LinkedIn post about sort of the lessons from it. And what I have found for myself personally is it serves many goals. Most importantly, it makes me an active reader. So I'm actually thinking about and processing what I'm reading rather than just going through the pages. And when I do audiobooks, I almost can't do this. I just don't, it's just more just thought fun and passing the time. But with nonfiction books and business books, I find that by writing 5-7 thoughts that come out of it, it just helps solidify my knowledge. And I find that often the author, whoever I've read their book, they'll be tagged in my post. They're usually pleased. And then the audience, as long as I've made the effort to write useful things, also enjoys it too. And so, and I found just it's a much better discipline for me to actually do this reading to make sure I'm doing it and to do it with a purpose. Because if not, I'm sort of just passing through it and it doesn't stick to me as well. So it just is my sort of thought for the day and one of the ways that I've sort of disciplined myself to make this active nonfiction reading more useful for myself, at least to force the learning for myself. And I do enjoy it. And I discipline myself with a few amount of pages a day, not to overdo it. But I think it's so important just to staying like active and engaged and thinking and trying to grow. And it's not that you're not necessarily getting a new thought, but so many things help you categorize and think through things and approach things. I just love that tip. And I love your tip on reading nonfiction. I love my fiction as well, but I do view it as more of a pastime, but I love it too. But you're right. Yeah. When you're reading so much for work, it's hard to do. And so the other thing I would think about is you don't have to set big goals on your reading. It could be, okay, I know today's a crazy day, so I'm literally, the book is 300 pages, so I'm going to read 1 to 2% of the book. And then once I do so, I usually enjoy it enough that I keep on going. You know, you don't have to be massive goals that are going to impact your life badly. They're a little bit at a time to keep you learning and thinking. Quite frankly, I could read 3 pages, 5 pages, 7 pages, and write a post about it and learn far more than if I had read 2 chapters and not done anything with it in an active way. So I think there's ways to do this in a short form way that's fantastic.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. And I too think about, you know, back in college or even when you were in elementary school, you would read a book and you would do like a book report and you would write about it or you would do some sort of summary. And now you aren't forced to do that, but kind of forcing yourself to say, okay, I'm going to summarize this. I'm going to even write in the margins my ideas or share it on social media. Again, it's like that active reading that really makes it so much more fun and it sticks in your brain, like you said.
Magnificent. Andrea Leguina, always a pleasure to speak to you again. Andrea Leguina, partner at McGuire Woods, magnificent lawyer. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I know it's not a healthcare-centric discussion, more about women's leadership, but appreciate you sharing your thoughts so much. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.